May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome home. It is so wonderful to see all of you on this homecoming Sunday. And at the beginning of summer, I'm always so tired, I'm ready for a break. But then by July, I'm missing the church school kids. And by August, I'm really missing the choir. And in September, I'm so happy to see everyone come home. And no matter who you are or where you come from, or whether this is your first time or your thousandth time at St. Andrew's, this place can be a home for you. Even if you don't know the words to the prayers, if you look around these pews and wonder if you fit in, you belong here. We want you here. We're so glad you came. Welcome home. And in this home, as a member of this parish and of the larger body of Christ, you have certain responsibilities and certain rights. And as we all get back into the swing of things, I thought it might be helpful for everyone to remember what they are. You have the right to be loved. Our scripture and our theology teach us that nothing can separate you from the love of God, who has always loved you and always will. There is no sin you can commit to change that. There is nothing hidden in your past that could make that not true. There is no length of time you could stay away from church. And there is nothing that you need to do to earn God's love. It is yours by birthright. You have the responsibility to love others as God has loved you. A lot of ink has been spilled about that line in the New Testament from the letter of James. Faith without works is dead. Again, there is nothing that you need to do to earn God's love. God is not like a mean violin teacher who only loves you if you practice your scales. Did everyone have that violin teacher? And God's love for you is so complete that for you, he gave Jesus Christ, his only son. And that is an enormous love. It's uncontainable. And if you let it be poured into you, it will start to overflow. And you sometimes hear that faith is about being a good person. No, faith is about being loved by God. But if you open yourself to being so perfectly loved, if you learn to see yourself as God sees you, you may find yourself with the strength to then become a better person. If you see that a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, your heart will be broken. You will find it harder and harder to turn away. That's the works part of the faith and works equation. You have the right to doubt. And doubt sometimes can feel good if you are for the first time starting to ask questions about what you were taught in Sunday school and read the Bible and engage with your faith. Doubt sometimes can lead you to realize that God is bigger and more loving and more powerful than you ever imagined. Doubt can also hurt. It can make you wonder if God is real or if God really cares. It can sure make you want to give up on the church. And it can make you feel hopeless. And feelings of doubt or that spiritual dryness are a normal part of a life of faith. You are not a bad person if you have them. And you have the responsibility to wrestle with those doubts instead of walking away. To be a Christian believer is to be in relationship with God. And every relationship has peaks and valleys. But in a relationship with someone you love, if you are struggling, the solution is always to invest more deeply, not to turn your back. And if you struggle in your relationship with God, the solution might be to pray, or to read, or to wait, to come talk to one of the clergy. That's what we're here for. But stay in that relationship. Even though you have the right to be angry at God. Because we live in a fallen world where unfair and horrible things happen all the time. All the time. And except for that answer that we live in a fallen world, nobody really knows why. And like feeling doubt, feeling angry at God sometimes is normal. And so you have the responsibility to tell God when something is bothering you. Look at the Syrophoenician woman in the Gospel of Mark. She is facing what every parent fears, the serious illness of a child. And she asks Jesus for help, and she gets an answer that feels unacceptable. And so she tells him, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She stays in the relationship. She doesn't slink away. And because of her persistence, Jesus changes his mind. Our word for talking to God is prayer. But prayer doesn't have to be something you memorize, and it doesn't have to be a sanitized list of all the things that you're grateful for with the truth removed. Tell God what is truly on your mind. That is what God asks us to do. And here in this place, at St. Andrew's, you have the right to be treated as an equal member of this community without partiality. And the standard here is set by James, the New Testament writer. The letter we heard from today is a real letter, written to real churches in the first and second century. And his message to them is God shows no partiality. And as Christians who seek to embody the image of God, that means neither do we. If you are rich or poor, if you are single or married, if you are an adult or a child, you are sitting among equals. Because we all stand equal before God. And so you have the responsibility to treat others as your equals. Because in that letter from James, if you are the poor person visiting the church, his message sounds like a welcome. If you're already inside the church, it's a warning. God shows no partiality, and so neither should we. Just as you are of infinite worth to God, remember that every one of the people around you is of equally infinite worth. And treat them accordingly. And you have the right to wish that St. Andrew's were a different kind of church. The Episcopal Church is a big tent, and you're sitting in the only Episcopal Church in Wellesley, so that makes us an extra big tent. And you may wish that St. Andrew's felt bigger or smaller or more conservative or more progressive or more Protestant or more Catholic. A couple of pews away will be somebody who is wishing the opposite thing. That is what makes us many members of one body. That's not a bad thing. You may wish that this church were more or less like the church that you grew up in. And you have every right to suggest changes, because growing and changing through the generations is how the body of Christ continues to thrive. That's why after 2,000 years, we're still here. You have a voice here. This is your home. And so you have the responsibility to love this place for what it is. As you sit inside these walls and under this roof, remember that we are one outpost of the mystical body of the kingdom of God. We are united with other Christians around the world, across generations. We are mostly doing our best most of the time to discern the will of God and to live it. A lot of the time we get it wrong. Once in a while we get it right. Always we are trying. These are amazing rights and awesome responsibilities. And we take them on always and only with God's help. And always we are reminded that we don't have to do any of this alone. You don't have to do it alone. You can count on this community, and you can always count on God, who will never fail you, who is made known to you in Christ, who dwells within you through the Holy Spirit, and whom we gather to worship here at this table, sharing one body in the one bread. It's going to be an amazing year. Welcome home.